name is Forgetful. No. But today we're talking about love. The love of God. And this is something we heard in our reading 28 times, and it's something that we hear throughout the whole story of the Bible, the story of God's love for his people. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus prayed for his disciples, including us. He prayed for us that we would make his love known to the world, and that the love with which he loved us may be in us, and that he would be in us. Love is a hallmark of being a Christian. They'll know we are Christians by our love, right? And it's not always that romantic love, but it's that kind of love that Christ had for us, a self-sacrificing love. Our reading says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. When we love, we know who God is. That's why the work of loving others is so important, because when we do that, we know God in our lives. We see better who God is. Today is Mother's Day, a day many of us give thanks for the love of our moms. But it can also be a hard day and not just a day of celebration for those of us whose moms live in heaven, who maybe didn't have a very loving mom, or for those of us who might want to be a mom but never got that chance. But I always like to lift up on Mother's Day that anyone can be a loving, motherly influence in the lives of others. This is my soul mama, Sue Edison Swift, who's been a mother figure in my life since I was probably 12 years old. And there she is holding Anna as a newborn. She's still an influence in my life. So I want you to think about also who are other Christian women who have been that influence for you today. And remember to send them some love on this day as well. Today, as you probably know, is the feast day of Julian of Norwich. So let's take a moment to remember Julian of Norwich. Oh wait, you probably have never heard of her. Julian was what's called an anchorite, which is like somebody who you could maybe think of as a hermit. Anchorites lived in small cells attached to churches, and she lived around 1400 was her lifespan, a little before, a little after. As a person became an anchorite, it was common for priests to say a funeral rite as they entered their new home to symbolize them dying to the outside world and being reborn to this new life. Julian was also a mystic, which focuses on becoming one with God, union, communion with God, uniting your life with God. There's not a whole lot we know about her life, her specifics. Even her actual name is unknown. We just call her Julian because the church that her little cell was attached to was the Church of St. Julian in Norwich, England. When she was about 30, before she became an anchorite, she was living at home and she suffered a serious illness. They thought she was going to die, so her priest came to give her the last rites on May 8th in 1373. As part of the ritual, he held up a crucifix in the air at the foot of her bed, and Julian, at this point, writes that she had lost her sight and she was starting to feel physically numb, but as she could see that crucifix, she saw the figure of Jesus on the crucifix begin to bleed. Over the next several hours, she had a series of 16 visions of Jesus. And she recovered from her illness around May 13th, which is her feast day in the Catholic Church. She wrote about her visions right after they happened and she was recovered. And her book is called Revelations of Divine Love. It's believed to be the earliest surviving book written in the English language by a woman. So today in the sermon, we're going to look at some of Julian's famous quotes, which speak about the very deep love that God has for us. And we'll also be looking at the reading from 1 John, which tells us about what God's love is and what it means in our lives. Julian believed that God would make all things right. She thought that the sins we committed made our own personal hell, and that God would work through those sins to show us his glory. She wrote, all shall be well, all shall be well. For there is a force of love moving through the universe that holds us fast and will never let us go. She compared the love of God and the love of Christ to the love a mother has for her child. She believed that there was no stronger love than this, the love that never lets us go. Our reading from 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because God first loved us." It's so very true. If it were just up to me, I would run out of love pretty quickly. But there is this miraculous force of love in our world that just keeps filling me and you up with love through our prayers, through the communion that we share at God's table, through God's forgiveness, through the promises we have in baptism, that we're made new every day, that we are God's beloved children, through the ancient words of Scripture, and through many other ways that we experience God in our world. Last week, I was really busy. You probably were too. We always seem to be busy, don't we? I got in line at Colectivo quickly to try to grab a drink, and I was running in, and somebody else came in behind me and was going to buy some bags of coffee. And I was standing in line, and I ordered my coffee, and I was ordering this and that. And then I thought, I could have let that person go first, because she just needs to get in and out. And I was just rushing around and caught up in myself. And I thought, wouldn't it have been nice for me to think of her before myself? And I was too focused on me and my needs, and I didn't think about that. But when we're filled with God's love, when we know God's love, then we're more open to sharing that love in our world. One of the things Julian saw and wrote about was an acorn. And when she looked at this acorn, this simple thing, she wrote this. "In this little thing, this little acorn, I saw three truths. The first is that God made it. The second is that God loves it. The third is that God looks after it." It reminds me a lot of what the Bible writes, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, about looking at the birds of the air, knowing that God cares for them, and that we don't have to worry that God will care for us either. God has created you. God loves you. God is taking care of you. One way God cares for us is by giving us hope through Jesus. 1 John also says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." God took away our worry about sin and death through the resurrection of Christ by sending his own Son to be our Savior. Julian said, "The fullness of joy is to behold God in everything." Did you ever notice that when you start looking for something, that's all you see? My sister got a new car that I had never heard of before, and then all of a sudden I saw those cars all around. Or in springtime, I notice that. I see a beautiful flower, a beautiful bush somewhere, and then I seem to notice it everywhere I go. The same is true with happiness and joy and God. When we're consciously working to think about God and to look for God, we see God more. We see God everywhere. Julian saw that as the greatest joy that we could ever know. 1 John says, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another." If we see God in everything, that definitely means that we see God in everyone. And when we see God in everyone, it does help us love them a little more. This week, practice that. Try to see God in everyone, especially those people for whom the word love does not first come to mind when you think of them. See if it helps you love them and care for them just a little bit more. Julian said, between God and the soul, there is no between. That thought is part of being a mystic, part of that communion with God, that close relationship with God. Julian saw God as so close that there was no distinction between us and God. Our reading says, "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." Jesus himself used that word abide to describe his relationship to his disciples and to God. When we live in Jesus, he lives in us. When we let that love of Jesus fill us up, the Spirit does come alive in us and fill us. And that love of God comes into our world a little stronger than it was before. Julian wrote, "See that I am God. See that I am in everything. See that I do everything. See that I've never stopped ordering my works, nor ever shall eternally. See that I lead everything on to the conclusion I ordained for it before time began, by the same power, wisdom, and love with which I made it. How can anything be amiss?" You know that saying, "Let go and let God"? It's a very simple saying. It's a very true saying. If only it was so easy to follow. God is God. God is in everything. God is love, power, and wisdom. Remember this the next time you think something is wrong or amiss in your life, which will probably be just later today. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Again, our reading brings us back to that idea that when we live close to God, God lives close to us. The closer we are to God, the more we're filled with that complete love of God. Because even though she lived a solitary life, Julian of Norwich knew that life was not all rainbows and butterflies. She knew that we need God. She writes, "He did not say, 'You will not be troubled, you will not be belabored, you will not be afflicted,' but he said, 'You will not be overcome.'" We have said many times in this place that being a Christian doesn't mean that our life is perfect or easy. We all have our problems, our mess-ups, our losses, our burdens. But because we have God, we are not overcome. We know that we will triumph in the end. And Joyce gave a wonderful witness to that too in sharing her story here today. Our reading says something that is a little actually scary for me. Love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. I have my own fears. I have my own worries. I don't feel like I truly know that perfect love of God in my life because of my own sin and my own worries. But I can also say that when I pray, when I trust God, those fears and worries have less power over me and my life. Julian wrote, "If there is anywhere on earth a lover of God who is kept safe, I know nothing of it, for it was not shown to me. But this was shown, that in falling and rising, we are always kept in that same precious love." God is not just there for the good. God is good and God is love. But that doesn't mean that when things aren't good or when we feel unloved or unlovable, that God is not there. I chose this picture of a mother comforting her child because as parents, we probably know that that is true, that you can't always protect your child from all hurts, but you are always loving your child. And on Mother's Day, I have to give a shout out to my own mom. There's a picture of my mom feeding me as a baby and holding me on her backpack with a beer stein and apples on the kitchen counter. So, I used to think my parents had me to be a servant to them. Okay, I'm the youngest. You know, I got asked to change the channel a lot. I had to do a lot of things before remote controls, you know. But I know now that that is not true. Our parents do so much for us, care for us, whether it's our biological parents, our adopted parents, our foster parents, grandparents, whoever cared and raised us and loved us. And God is the same. God loves us deeply, unconditionally, and God cares for us in ways that we don't ever even know about. So this week, don't forget your name. You are love. You are loved. You are a child of God. I hope and pray that you will live in that love, that you will wear it like a name tag or like your favorite shirt, that you will share that love with the world. And I end today with a blessing from the words of Julian. May God's love wrap and enfold you, embrace you and guide you, and bring you comfort. Amen.